Welcome to the Bowden Blitz College Football Playoff Edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, round number two is on the horizon. Four great games on tap. We'll dive into those in a little bit, but let's take a look at the updated playoff odds national championship picture. Give me your thoughts about the round two games and the ultimate national champion potentially for 2026.
Well, you know, it's everybody there has the ability to move on to the college football championship. There's going to be some underdogs, obviously. I start with Alabama and Ole Miss, but I think the real question mark to me is Oregon, Texas Tech. I think that's going to be a great football game. Those are two that somebody's going to knock somebody else off, and the other one has a good chance of if they play real well to get themselves all the way in. But still, I like Georgia as the best SEC team out there. Ohio State, Indiana now are still clearly the top two favorites.
Yeah, you talk about the Oregon-Texas Tech game. That is one of the tightest spreads, a 1.5-point margin in that matchup. We'll dive into that in just a little bit. But give me your thoughts overall about the coaching matchups when we see, obviously, Dan Lanning going up against Joey McGuire. Joey McGuire did get a first-round bye. It's his first big game at Texas Tech. Did lead two bowl wins in back-to-back years. How do you break down the coaching matchup Oregon-Texas Tech overall?
Well, you know, Oregon, Dan Lanning has that SEC history. He's got background at Georgia, Alabama. He understands football from a defensive standpoint. Run the football is huge at Oregon, though he has the talent that comes from a NIL rich program like Oregon. He understands that you win with defense and running football game and a dual threat quarterback. But Joey McGuire, he comes out of the high school ranks many years as a great high school coach. And, you know, over the years, I've coached against many coaches that have gone on to become great head coaches. And just as many came out of long-term high school ranks, good at fundamental football. Joey has done a great job, McGuire, of understanding we've got to get defensive players to be a champion. Very explosive team. You know, Oregon and both coaches understand play great defense, and they're the top two teams in the country with explosive offenses. Because when you have a great defense, like both those teams do, you're not going to sustain drives very much. I think both those coaches understand we've got to have people that can go deep. We've got to have big explosive plays. But anyway, Dan Lanning, probably I'd give him the edge a little bit, but I love the talent that Joey McGuire has brought in at Texas Tech.
And you talk about Joey McGuire and Texas Tech. It used to be known as an air raid type of offense. With the late Mike Leach, they didn't really play all that much of defense. It was, hey, the first team to 50 points in the Big 12 back in the day would potentially win that matchup. No longer the case. When you look at Texas Tech, and to your point, you know, you look at the front seven led by David Bradley, and that front seven, they're holding opposing offenses to only 2.5 yards per carry, less than 80 yards per game. It's the top rushing defense out of all the 12 teams in the college football playoff. They're physical at the point of attack, and we haven't seen teams throughout the Big 12 season really stretch this defense over the top, and that's going to be, I guess, the key matchup going up against an explosive, balanced offense in Oregon with now a veteran quarterback in Dante Moore.
Yeah, it's a great challenge because, like I said, both these teams, 1 and 2, in explosive plays, but they're both in the top four and not allowing explosive plays. So something's got to give. But again, I love the philosophy. And it seems like the quarterback, Baron Morton at Texas Tech, fits more of that manager style. He's more of the Georgia-style quarterback. He understands the offense. He knows how to run the offense. Not as dynamic as Dante Moore, but he is able to throw the deep ball and throw the explosive play. And so I like the way they play football, and I think both teams are coming out there with the chance to go over top. I don't see either one of those teams sustaining drives very far with as well as their defenses play.
No, absolutely. That's going to be the biggest thing. Can Oregon run the football consistently on Texas Tech? If so, they could be in manageable third down situations. That could open up everything for the speed of the Oregon Ducks. When you look at the flip side, how Texas Tech potentially might challenge Oregon. We've seen Oregon dominate James Madison in the first round game, but they did allow 500 total yards. You can account that to garbage yards and garbage points in the second half of that matchup.
Yeah. But
talk to me about the offensive philosophy potentially of Texas Tech in this round two game going up against a solid front seven in Oregon.
Well, you know, it's going to be a little different. This is the most talented team they've played this year, and they're used to double-digit victories. I want to say almost every single win they've had have been double digits. I'm not sure what their comfort level is in a tight football game, and I think this will be a tight football game. But I think they have a team that's built for that. I think they can sustain, run the ball, try to go over top, play great defense. I think this is going to be a tight football game. That's why the spread is so tight. And I think both teams have got to be comfortable running the football, doing as best they can with the running, because when they can get short yardage on third down or second down, or they do have a first down and they want to take a chance, go deep, get your deep ball, try to get some points out of something special there. But it's going to take patience. Dante Moore, better dual threat quarterback. He didn't have to run even against James Madison, but I think if they allow him to be a little more fluid in his running game, mix that in with their passing attack, that could be a real advantage for Oregon.
No, it really can, and they're going to have to contain David Bailey. I mentioned him at the start of the show, 13 and a half sacks. The transfer from Stanford is going to be have to account for him at all times. If you're an Oregon offensive lineman, the offensive staff is going to have to get the football out early to really get that defense moving sideline to sideline. And potentially, Coach, that could open up the rushing attack later in that matchup. I brought this up earlier. I want to get your take again. Are we giving any advantage to Oregon being that they played a first-round game? They were able to maybe work out any type of kinks after the 2 or 3 week hiatus where there's now more pressure on Texas A&M to come right out of this gate and be hitting on all cylinders offensively and defensively?
I think both coaches have to buy into their circumstances and get their kids into it. They have to feel like, hey, fellas, we haven't had that much time off. We're on a roll. Let's keep going. And remember, all those points JMU got was against not just second-teamers, but third- and fourth-teamers. They had pretty much pulled everyone a little too soon, couldn't get back into the game. So their starters are still playing very good football in that regard. But Texas Tech now, I like the fact that Joey McGuire has almost a month to prepare. As long as you get your kids work, don't overwork them, you got a chance to really add some things. You could get 7 to 10 points early just by doing something different. We saw that earlier in the year, Louisville against Miami. We saw a coach had a week off, made some adjustments. I think you go out there, and so both sides can sell what they have. They're coming off a win. They're ready to play versus I've had a month to put something new in. So it's a chance. I think Texas Tech, better chance to have wrinkles if you're at Texas Tech.
Absolutely, and we talk about turnovers being a critical part of potentially wins and losses in the college football playoff. Texas Tech, one of the best turnover margins in the nation at plus 17 entering this matchup. They're holding opposing offenses to only 68.8 rushing yards per game and 2.3 yards per carry. That potentially can be the difference in this matchup. Coach, we know the Big 12 potentially is not getting any love in this college football playoff. I like Texas Tech with the points early on here. How do you see this game playing out?
I'm with you. I just think I've got Texas Tech winning this game outright. Again, it's almost a toss-up anyway. But as good as offense is for Oregon, and I give Oregon a little edge offense and quarterback, I think the big strength of the team is their defense at Texas Tech. It will dominate enough. And they hit one more explosive play than Oregon to get the win.
We'll see how it plays out when Coach and I return. We'll talk Ohio State and Miami, that big game in round number two coming up next. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week two and round number two of the college football playoff dynamic top 25 battles across the board. We left off talking about Oregon, Texas Tech, the tightest spread in round number two. We'll turn our attention to a battle of brand names, Ohio State and Miami. These teams battled it out in the 2003 National Championship game. That was the game that Jim Tressel and Ohio State prevailed. Controversial pass interference call. Now the Miami Hurricanes coach enter this matchup 9.5-point underdogs. But I'll say this. If their defense plays the way it did against Texas A&M and their quarterback, Marcel Reed, they're going to be within this margin. How do you see this game early on playing out?
Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the, and you're right, that Miami of today is playing defense like the Miami of yesterday. Those days from 2003 and before that, Jimmy Johnson era, Dennis Erickson, all those great teams at Miami played great defense. And we saw that against Texas A&M, sacking the quarterback seven times, holding them to 3 points. Great victory there. And I think that'll be something that has could very well be a problem for Ohio State. The speed they have, the pass rush they have. Saban has not been under much pressure this year. He did not play that well against Indiana, which gave him a lot of pressure. And if you go all the way back to Texas, it wasn't a great performance by the quarterback way back there. But he is the most proficient, the most accurate, but he will be tested, and it's that Miami defense that gives him a chance. I think we're in for a slugfest here. I think Miami has the speed to match with Ohio State and the defense to put some pressure on them, because Ohio State doesn't overwhelm you with their passing game. I mean, their running game. And I do think if you talk to people down in Miami, and I have talked to people around the program, they're concerned about those two wide receivers and the deep ball threat of Ohio State scares them to death.
It does, and you're talking about a Miami defense up until this point that has been very good statistically. They're holding opposing offenses to 194 passing yards per game. They're holding opposing quarterbacks under 60% completion percentage at 58.4 on the season. They've only allowed 11 passing touchdowns and have forced 14 interceptions, but you're talking about a different animal at Ohio State. We talk about Ohio State wide receivers translating to the NFL. It's not even close when you look at some other programs. Jeremiah Smith, Cornell Tate are going to be a problem. Texas A&M wasn't able to stretch that defense over the top, but that's where you got to believe that Ryan Day and this offense potentially have an inside edge against the speed of Miami.
Yeah, and Ryan Day, you know, he'll be the one calling plays in this game. He's done it before, and he's going back and taking over to replace the offensive coordinator, and he's got to have that built into his game plan. But often you have to run the ball well enough to get enough second mediums or second shorts, third and shorts to get those deep ball, which means to me you've got to do it on first down some. You got the one down, you can hit that big play. Get that built in because, again, I'd much rather see a one-play drive than try to get a seven- or eight-play drive against a defense like Miami. So that's going to be the big question mark. That, and obviously, can Carson Beck play a clean football game? At times, in big games, he has made turnovers and made mistakes. He's got to have a great football game in this one, too, just to make sure they take advantage of their opportunities, because they face a defense that's the best defense they've faced all year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the breakdown that we'll take a look at as you talk about Carson Beck and the last performance in the road win over Texas A&M. Carson Beck only threw for 103 yards, Coach. He did throw for the touchdown. The reverse to Malachi Toney counted as a pass. But you just look at this defense for Ohio State statistically. They don't allow big plays. They're holding opposing offenses to only 130 passing yards per game. We saw what they were able to do for the most part in containing Indiana and Fernando Mendoza. You have to take some shots in this game, and that's where I do have some concerns about Miami's offense. At times, outside of Malachi Toney, there really isn't another go-to guy. CJ Daniels at times has stepped up, but there isn't consistency week to week in the passing attack.
Yeah, I think they were just painfully conservative in their game against Texas A&M. Not until that last quarter, that last drive, did they open it up, got some big yardage And they got Malachi Toney. They do have to get him the football. And they have gotten him the ball a good bit, but they have to build in that explosive play, and they have got to up it up. They can't just run the ball and be successful against Ohio State. And I don't think you're going to keep it close enough if you don't at least match them for what they can do offensively. So I think we got to see a game out of Miami that does run the ball, but you've got to have some explosive plays, just like they're expecting Ohio State to try to do against them because of their skill. We'll see how that goes and if they will open up. But Cristobal, that's a lot of it has to do with his mentality. He's got to be careful if he tries to play this game too close to the cuff, because you get behind Ohio State 10 to 14 points. Their defense is the best in the country, and it will be hard to catch up.
Holding opposing offenses, Ohio State, to less than 10 points per game, only allowing 129 passing yards to opposing offenses, holding opposing quarterbacks to 59% completion percentage. But more importantly, they have only allowed 6 passing touchdowns all season long, and they forced 8 interceptions. So you're going to need a much better effort out of the Miami Hurricanes, especially coming right out of the gate in this matchup on a neutral field. Coach, I do want to ask, quarterback battle. Carson Beck, experienced, but hasn't stepped up, let's say, in the passing attack. But he does have championship game experience playing in SEC championship games in back-to-back years for the Georgia Bulldogs. Sayin played in one championship game and lost to Fernando Mendoza. Any inside edge to Beck over Sayin, for that matter?
I've seen enough of Beck in critical situations not do what he needs to do. I think you're right. It's a matter of which one doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't make the mistakes. We're talking about big plays, but I got a feeling making a mistake, turning the ball over, as usually in a game like this, in the top teams, the team that turns the ball over less, the quarterback that doesn't make key mistakes that end up in a turnover, is the one that's going to lose the football game. I go to say in a little bit on this one.
When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other teams in the college football playoff playing in round number 2. Keep it where it is. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down round 2 college football playoff games. We left off talking about the battle between the Hurricanes and Ohio State. Coach, I think when you break it down, my heart is wanting to take the 9.5 points with Miami. I just can't do it. I do have concerns about their conservative play, especially in these big matchups. Even though I don't love Ryan Day taking over play-calling duties, I still think they have better weapons and a better defense than Miami. I'm going to lay the 9.5 points with Ohio State in this ballgame, but I do feel we could potentially go over the 41.5.
Well, the only thing I'm going to go, and I think Miami can keep it within the points, and I'm going to take Miami and the points. I just think about how Julian Sayin has played against the best 2 teams they played. They scored 13, lose 13-10 against Indiana. They win 14-7 against Texas. These are the 2 best talented defenses, and you've got to put Miami's defense in the same category as those 2 defense. Great team speed, ability to put pressure on the quarterback, how to say and respond in a big game with a lot of pressure on him. So again, I can't pull against Ohio State because of how good they are in overall team, but 9.5 is just too much for me.
All right, we'll see how that game plays out. Let's turn our attention to the other battle, Indiana and Alabama. Talk to me about the coaching perspective. You know Kurt Cignetti very well. On the flip side, we have Kalen DeBoer. He was on the hot seat prior to the game in Norman just about a week and a half ago before that team fell behind 17-0. They made a second quarter comeback. They tied it at the half, and they pull away to get the 34-24 victory. Right now, Kalen DeBoer and Alabama have a little bit of momentum, but how do you see the coaching advantage or coaching matchup in this second round game?
You know, the thing that I think I get more out of talking to other football coaches, which I've talked through throughout the season as we've watched Indiana and Kurt Cignetti progress through his second year, I think it's almost a consensus that right now they are more fundamentally sound as a football team. That's coaching. Than any other team in America. They are so fundamentally sound. They are prepared in every phase of the game. They dot every I, they cross every T. Their evaluation of talent is outstanding. Their attention to detail on defense, run defense, pass defense, running game, passing game, special teams, turnovers, all those things, they are so fundamentally sound. So that's the one thing I think happens. Sometimes Kalen DeBoer has been a part of programs where he's won championship after championship at a lower level. Quite often they're beating people so much. He came into this season not able to run the ball very well, and they still don't do a great job of running it when people know you're going to run it. And so I think when it comes to coaching, Kurt Cignetti's fairly new on the national scene. He's been around a long time, assistant and head coach, and knows what he's doing. But I just love the fundamentals. The coaching fundamentals of Indiana is what is impressing football coaches around America.
Yeah, we'll see exactly how that second round game plays out. Indiana right now is a 6.5-point favorite in that matchup. I think just looking at it overall, Coach, I would give the inside edge from a speed advantage to Alabama over Indiana. It's not a knock on Indiana and what they were able to do up until this point, 13-0, number one overall seed. But we are talking about Alabama and SEC caliber speed going up against the Big Ten. And even though the defending national champion Ohio State and Michigan Wolverines in back-to-back years have hoisted the hardware, this is still SEC caliber team right now with Kalen DeBoer, and that's where I will give the inside edge to the Crimson Tide in the second round game.
Yeah, I can't go that way. I've been so, as a football coach, I'm so enamored with the fundamentally sound football team at Indiana. I think they're going to, without the ability to run, and Indiana is a top 10 rush defense, I think top two or three scoring defense in the country, maybe top two, second in scoring defense. It's going to come down to can Ty Simpson play a perfect football game. I think he's going to have to play a perfect football game for them to come in there and not turn the ball over that. And I give that to Indiana. Mendoza got the Heisman Trophy for a reason. He is a great quarterback who also has made big plays in two games where he had to make the plays himself.
Yeah, we'll see how those games play out. If Fernando Mendoza does maybe dominate Alabama and move on to the semifinals, Fernando Mendoza potentially could be the number one pick in this upcoming draft for the NFL this coming April. We'll see exactly how it plays out. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the games. Have a great week, everyone.